Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Bob Schuster down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then again, we're talking with our local fish biologist for the DNR, Max Walter, about what they got planned for spring surveys. And then lastly, we're talking bass fishing with pro bass tournament angler, Shaw Grigsby. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
You could literally drive to a boat show every weekend. Hi, this is Johnny from Hayward Power Sports. Go ahead, have some fun, check them out, then come see us. Their salesmen want you to believe that they get the best prices from the manufacturer and are offering show-only deals. The truth is, our sales volume allows us to buy boats at the same discounts as the big city dealers. And Hayward Power Sports has a huge selection of new Lund and Tracker fishing boats. Plus, we have our largest selection ever of pontoons in stock with gorgeous Benningtons and the number one selling pontoons in the world, Sun Tracker. Hayward Power Sports also carries every major outboard with Honda, Yamaha, Evinrude, Suzuki, and Mercury with the best warranty offers of the year going on now. And while the boat show finds you the best financing for the dealer, we work with our banks to get the best financing for you. Our boat show is continuous, so come see us today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward.
We're recording this week's show down Hayward Bait and Bottle, and help co-host today is none other than Mr. Bob Schuster. I had you on here. I haven't had you on here for a little while, Bob.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well,
morning,
thanks for,
John.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the fishing out there, we still got a lot of ice out there from what I'm hearing, but it's starting to look a little sketchy in some places.
Oh, yeah, and on the north sides of the lake, there's, you know, they're starting to show a little wear.
Yep, and where we got rivers coming in.
Yep,
you know,
yeah, blowing water springs, and so... Let's start out and tell people to be safe. Go out there with either a float suit or life jacket and go with a friend. And as I always say, if he's a good friend, he'll go first.
Well, there's been some ice fishing for a while yet. I mean, you know, I suspect everybody's thinking we're going to be way late on ice out. I don't believe that. I think it's going to be a pretty normal by the middle of the end of the month in April. We're going to be kind of looking at a lot of.
Yeah, by the sounds of the. I'm talking with a few folks, and it sounds like we're going to have below normal temperatures through most of April, but all you need is
a lot of sunlight.
Sunlight, and you know, where you get a few days where it's above freezing.
Yeah.
And a wind and a little rain, and it'll eat it up pretty quick.
It's surprising how fast it can go. As far as the ice fishing, what have you had here and coming to the shop your guys are getting?
Oh, they're catching crappie, they're catching perch, they're catching bluegill. Some guys have been out to the river and doing an amacogon catch and release. I was fortunate enough to get out to actually last night with Steve Kaner and DJ, and did pretty well down on Spooner. Nice mixed bag. We got some perch, we got some crappie, and we got some bluegill.
Were the fish up high in the water? That's what I'm hearing a lot of lakes.
Yeah, both. You'd catch fish just below the ice, and then you'd catch fish, you know, close to the bottom.
Well, that if you've been on the bottom, it's a good sign when it comes to oxygen out there this time of year. And some lakes I'm hearing are all way up underneath the ice.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, hopefully we don't see a lot of winter kill and stuff. You know, steelhead season can open up. By the time it's there, it'll be open. You get some guys are getting ready for that, too.
Yeah, they have been. They've been coming in and buying netting and thread and salmon eggs and spawn sacks and crawlers and waxies and, blank, and we're here to open water already.
Fishing season's only just a little ways off now. I mean, we're only a few weeks away, and hopefully everything's all set up for that. But, you know, when it comes to that steelhead season up there again, I've heard reports that it should be a good season this year.
Yeah, it should be.
You know, talk about other things. You know, anybody heading out going after roughish suckers, have you heard?
A few guys asking about it, and actually one of our staff members had been doing a little kayaking, and he was on Namekagon down by Stinnett, and there was quite a population of red horse down there. Wow. So, yeah, I'm guessing that that should be going here pretty quick.
Yeah, and I've had reports some places like Mississippi River and the Fox River has been really good fishing for walleyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, Steve Kaner took off today to go do some of that.
In the Fox River?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a really good spot, I guess. You know, and but it'll get kind of crowded. It always does.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. Same thing with the Mississippi.
Yeah, same thing with the Brule.
Yeah. But, you know, when you're talking about gearing up for spring, this is the time. We mentioned we're only a few weeks away from the fishing season. People start thinking about getting ready. You guys are going like crazy trying to get the shop in place, and this is a big place now. It's a lot of gear and a lot of equipment. I should have just about everything for the fishermen once you get it in place, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping we do, but if we don't, we'll special order it for you as well. But yeah, as you mentioned that, it's time to take a look at the rods and reels. And if you need a new tip on a rod or new line or it needs to be clean and greased, stop on in and we can get that taken care of for you. Within a few weeks, we should have a better handle on the set here. So there will be lots of product to take a look at and quite a few new items as far as colors and sizes.
I know, you know, a couple of different things. I know you got to have it real. You got specials right now on some of the ice fishing equipment, which is we're trying to phase over.
Yeah, we do. On anywhere from electronics to augers, we've got a few shacks left, and most of the accessories we got on sale as well.
Talking about some of the new stuff, I know one thing you're going to carry a lot of this year, and one of our sponsors is too out there, Hayward Power Sports. It seems like the Hummingbird is controlling, Hummingbird Minicota right now is pretty much controlling the electronics in the fishing market. But then there's a good reason for it, because they've got some really fantastic stuff out there with the Helix and the lake mapping and everything else.
Oh, for sure. And it's a great product, and it's been pretty much hassle-free. Not much for defectives you see in it, and they've got a, you know, their exclusive map chip that runs in their unit, and
they own the company.
Yeah, and then they you can rig your graph to your
trolling motor,
so you can tell it that you want to run a 12-foot weed line.
It'll follow
it. It'll follow it. All you got to do is fish.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. The spot lock is what I did. The new spot lock they came out with last year, they improved it and they got it right. I mean, they did. I ran it last year on my boat and I never used an anchor. Whether I was slip bobber fishing or shallow water fishing, no matter what I was doing, when I told the boat to stay, it never moved more than 2 to 3 feet at the most in any direction. It was absolutely flawless.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great feature on it, as well as you can run a track going along a shoreline, and
lots,
if you hit a fish, lock that spot in and call for the boat to go back to that spot.
So. Yep, go back, return to your waypoint. Yeah. It's amazing, and you guys have got some demo units here they can look at, and you know, if anybody's got any questions, I'm going to be putting some stuff up on, hopefully on my YouTube channel, talking about how to use this stuff, and it's just amazing what the stuff will do.
Yes, it is.
You know, talk about one last thing before we take a break here. Conservation hearings coming up April 9th, and they'll be at the Winter High School this year, 7 o'clock. That's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it will. And it's a great time to find out what's going on, so want to make sure people head over there.
Well, you know, we're going to take a break right now and hear from the fine sponsors that help bring the show to you every week. We come back, we've got an interesting interview with our local fish manager, so stay tuned.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season, and if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Riding the Ski-Doo snowmobile is an experience unlike any other, and Spring Fever offers deals unlike any other at Hayward Power Sports. Order your new 2019 Ski-Doo snowmobile by April 11th and get 4 years of warranty coverage or $750 off accessories and gear. Be the first to get the new Rotax-built 900 Ace turbo engine on the revolutionary RevGen 4 platform. Plus, it's your only chance to order X or XRS packages with custom upgrades. Get to Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Get that Ski-Doo feeling.
Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336. Or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com. And then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host is Bob Schuster down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Bob, you know, I've had several things on here with our local fish manager, Max Walter. He's been really instrumental in getting a lot of things done.
Yeah, he is. He's doing a great job for us.
You bet. And what he's going to talk about today is some of the things they got planned for this spring. They're getting in right now. They're busy, and they're going to be busy until we get into fishing season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They got plenty to do.
Let's hear from Max as far as what they're planning, and we come back, have yet another interview, and we'll have a wrap-up on the show. We're down at the Wisconsin DNR office here in Hayward, and we're talking to one of our favorite guys, Max Walter, who is our biologist. Well, let's talk about what you guys have got planned for this spring. I know this is we're getting fast approaching your busy time.
We are, yeah, and in the southern part of the state, you know, the biologists down there are getting out with their crews, so it's coming. It'll be upon us before we know it. Our spring, I think, really starts next week. We're going to be meeting with the staff at Governor Thompson Hatchery. We're all going to be sitting down together, kind of looking at what the year holds for us, figuring out where we can coordinate efforts, where we're going to be stocking fish, and just kind of getting everything together before things get crazy. Because as soon as that ice goes out, everybody's busy. We are going to be out doing surveys. They're going to be out collecting eggs and stocking the hatchery so that we have fish to put out next fall. My team is going to be on Couderay. We're going to be on the Chippewa Flowage, Teal and Lost Land, Whitefish Lake, we're going to be on Ashagon Lake, Radisson Flowage, and the Chippewa River. So we got a lot of big water we're going to be trying to cover. Those surveys have a variety of different objectives. It depends a bit on, you know, the lake, the species we're targeting, things like that. Some of them we're going to be trying to get an estimate of the total number of walleye, and that's good for us to know as managers. It also feeds into the setting the limits for tribal harvest and things like that. Some of them will be going in to tag muskies, get more information there, and that helps, of course, manage our muskies, figure out how well stocking's working in different places. Some of them will be looking at panfish, some of them will be looking at bass and pike, so really everything kind of happens in the spring, and we time most of our surveys for when the fish are spawning.
Yeah, I know you guys get out there on the lakes, and you're running not just the daytime, but at night a lot.
Yeah, right, yep, so we're netting during the day, those nets are very good for catching walleye, muskie, pike, crappies, and perch. Then we'll go out at night and shock, and typically we're looking for panfish and bass with those shocking surveys.
You know, and I know a lot of things have changed since I've come up here. I mean, the DNR functions pretty much the way it did, but it's changed a lot as far as we're seeing a little tighter management on the lakes, a little bit more focus on individual lakes, it seems like to me.
Yeah, I think that definitely could be the case. You know, we're trying to respond to angler expectations and trying to create different types of fisheries and different water bodies. So maybe one lake is going to be an opportunity to catch a trophy muskie, and another one might be more of an action fishery where there's lots of smaller muskies. But both of those fisheries have value. You know, it's about providing different opportunities across the landscape, and so we have to manage lakes a little bit differently. We're also trying to troubleshoot issues that we're having in our populations, and a lot of those issues have come up in the last 10 to 20 years, especially when you're talking about walleye recruitment. Big challenge, right? So we're doing a lot more stocking. We have more protective regulations for walleye than we used to, a lot more slot limits out there, lot more higher size limits, and that's to try and rebuild these populations.
I know when it comes to the walleyes, DNR has always stocked walleyes, but used to be they stocked a little fry and fingerlings, and now, actually, I believe our walleyes from Northwest Wisconsin Club is the one that actually got probably doing it first before anybody almost in the state, stocking the extended growth walleyes, which are, 6 to 9 inch walleyes?
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to survive a lot better, so now the DNR and the state's jumped into that too.
Right, yeah, and you're correct. There used to be a lot of fry stocking of walleye and small fingerlings, which would be 2 to 3 inches. But we were finding that we just weren't having success with those in a lot of places where they'd worked in the past. So we have made the switch to those extended growth walleyes that you mentioned. And we're using those in at least 90-95% of the waters in my management area in Sawyer County. And we have pretty good success with them in some places. Some places we'd like to see a little better stocking success, and we're working on ways that maybe we can have that.
And that's an expensive proposition, is stocking those extended growth walleyes. Luckily, you have several groups that are working to help do that. You got the tribal people. You've also got the walleyes from Northwest Wisconsin, some lake organizations or lake groups. A lot of that all helps to try to defer some of that cost, which the state may not have.
Yeah, it's a big collaboration, and with all our different partners. You mentioned a lot of them, walleyes from Northwest Wisconsin, individual lake associations, the tribe, and then, of course, the fish coming from the state, from our excellent hatcheries. We all work together to kind of allocate those resources where they need to go and make sure all the lakes that are appropriate for walleye stocking are getting some fish. And then we follow up and evaluate that too. We don't just put the fish out there and say, well, good luck, hope everything goes well. Yeah. We go out and we check up and see where it's working, where it's not, and see what we can learn from that.
One thing we can do is we can encourage everybody out there to get involved with one of these groups and with doing more stuff too, because that all helps.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not just stocking, whether it's walleyes for Northwest Wisconsin, Muskies Inc., the Bass Club, Fishing Has No Boundaries, whatever. They're all doing a variety of really great things, from stocking to habitat work to improving access for anglers. We need those partnerships here. We get a lot more done by working together than everybody kind of stepping back and saying, the DNR will just take care of it.
So, I know you guys actually even put out sometimes requests for people in the spring and the fall to help if you need extra help sometimes too.
Yeah, we do. We take people out with us, especially netting and shocking. It's a good opportunity to get to know people, especially if they live on the lake or fish the lake a lot. We learn from them, and they get to see what we do and see a lot of fish. It's fun.
I'm looking forward to hearing from what you find out there this year, because, it's been a long winter. I hope we don't see any winter kill on places like the Chip. Have you heard much on the oxygen things out there?
We were just checking on oxygen last week, and we are nearing a critical level just in some certain areas. So I'm not expecting anything widespread, but there are some areas out there that have winter kill fairly consistently, and we may see some of that this year.
About other lakes, anything there?
No, I haven't had any reports on other lakes, and generally things have looked okay. If we get a normalish ice out date, my impression is that we'll be okay, but you never know until things happen.
Ice needs to go away.
I think we're ready, right? We got the Berkey done with. Any time now would be fine.
Well, Max, I want to thank you for coming on here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Max is always interesting. We need to take another break, though, and hear from more of our fine sponsors. When we come back, I've got another interview with a pro bass fisherman, Shaw Grigsby, that I've run before, but it's kind of cool. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Pet owners, blastomycosis is a serious disease that threatens dogs in our area. Blasto is a fungus that grows in the spring and fall when the soil temperature is 39 degrees. The fatal disease results just 6 to 12 weeks later. Unfortunately, dogs love to dig and sniff in just the type of soil that houses these fungal spores. At Hayward Animal Hospital, they urge you to prevent your dogs from entering swampy areas during the thaw. If you have questions, call the Hayward Animal Hospital at 634-8971, located east of Hayward on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. With myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host is Bob Schuster down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Bob, you know, there's you get into the Bass League, and we fish the Bass League. The bass thing is big, you know, all over the country.
It truly is. And actually, I got a buddy down in Texas that his son is in the Bass League for his school, and I had the opportunity to go pre-fish with Al. And so we're pre-fishing and got talking to him. I said, so just how big is this? He said, there'll be 250 boats for that Saturday's gig. So it's, wow. Yeah, it's, and obviously it's a great bass area down there, but the schools are picking up on this, and they're, you know, they're starting leagues,
right?
And it's a fantastic thing, and it's a great sport. I mean, you can go out and have some pretty fun, as you well know. I fished against you. We can have some pretty good times, yeah, on the water fishing them.
Well, you mentioned the schools, and that's one thing. I got this pro, Shaw Grigsby, who's been on TV now. Last I fished, made a whole career out of fishing bass tournaments and fishing. It's one of the things he talks about. So let's hear that interview with him. It's very interesting, and we come back, we'll have a wrap up on the show. Shaw, you're up here doing seminars. All the way from Florida up here. I don't know how much chance you get to fish northern bass up here much, but that's what you do, bass fish.
Yes, I love it, and I love it in all the states. But I can tell you, the farther north I get, the more you get smallmouth. And, you know, being born and raised in Florida, I don't get to see smallmouth much, so I love catching those dudes. They're just crazy, wide open. They fight and trash. I just love them.
There's nothing better, I think, than big smallmouth when it comes to sport fish.
I agree with you. I think they're just great, and you can catch a lot of them. You can catch them on top. You can catch them on spinnerbaits. You can catch them on just about anything you throw, and that's what makes it fun.
You know, for guys that want to get into bass fishing, up here, our bass fishery has gotten better and better and better. And I think a lot of it's not a coincidence that more people practice catch and release.
Right.
Instead of catch and eat. And guys that want to get into bass fishing, what kind of tips can you give them as far as get started bass, whether it's largemouth or smallmouth?
You know, the first thing is to have fun. I like fishing in the springtime when they're shallow. Then you don't have to learn the deep water. You can do it from the bank. You can do it from, you know, a boat or small boat or something like that. So springtime makes it a really, really fun time. And then again in the fall, the rest of the time, then you might have to get in a boat. And if you have a boat, that's fine. You know, that's really good, because then you can kind of chase them all year. And, you know, I stay around the weeds a lot for the largemouth, and the smallmouth will hang out in the weeds. And then a lot of times you get offshore, find rock structure, any type of rock hump, and you can see that on your graph. You know, I use Lowrance graph. It has a map, and it'll have rock humps and rock structure. You find that, you'll find a lot of smallmouth.
Smallies kind of have a different appetite than largemouth.
Right. You know, they love crawfish. They're just crazy about crawfish. But they eat a lot of minnows too. So, yep, you know, you can throw baits and jerk baits, and they like active. So, you know, sometimes we have to slow down and catch them slow, but most of the time, man, you throw something like, you know, that's moving, and like a jerk bait or a crank bait or even topwater bait that you move pretty quick, they crush it.
You know, you've been kind of in this bass tournament thing for maybe 30 years, right? So you kind of know how to fish.
You know, you say that, but you know, I really don't. I think the greatest thing about fishing is that you can enjoy it when you're 2-3 years old. You know, I got my grandson started, and he absolutely loves it. Yep. And you can enjoy it when you're 90. I remember, if you remember Homer Circle, who used to write, yep, and he was actually Glenn Lau, one of the greatest, you know, underwater cinematographers that film all those, you know, bass movies and stuff. Glenn would pick him up and put him in the truck, carry him out, pick him up, put him in the bow of the boat, and they would go fishing to his dying days at 90-something years old. How awesome is that, still to go fishing, and you love every minute of it, and you're learning every day, yeah, you go. So it's not like you'll ever know it. You're never the best. You're never the worst. You're just an angler out there enjoying the day. And you can have a lot of fun, or you can take it to the level where we take it, to the professional level, so you can do anything you want in between. It can be an enjoyable, relaxable day. You can be going out there to catch fish to eat, or you can just have fun.
Okay, if you had a young kid that was getting kind of interested in fishing, what would you suggest to the parents? What kind of equipment?
You know, it's just get them a quick Zebco. That's what I started with, little, okay, Zebco 33, you know, a little 5.5-6 foot rod, and, you know, 10 pound test on it, and go have fun. That's really the start. And if they really like it, then you start upgrading. You know what the greatest thing now is? We have junior angler teams. right. that start out before. Then you get high school teams now. Then you get college teams. You get college scholarships to go fishing on bass fishing tours, and then they move on to the pros. When I fished in high school, everybody said, you're a bum. You know, I'm going out fishing. And and now you're working towards a scholarship. So how cool is that to see the progression of a great sport?
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
Well, you know, you were talking about starting kids out and this stuff, but once a person kind of gets to a point in fishing, a lot of people I see go out there and they're waiting for fish to bite. Now, in a pro level, and we do this when we're muskie fishing, I guide fishing too, and we're not waiting for fish to bite. We're going out there to try to make fish bite.
Exactly.
And you can do that with bass too.
Exactly. Let me jump back on the kids thing real quick. And the kids thing, when you're taking a kid fishing, most important thing is make it their day. Don't make it about your day. If you're thinking about you and catching fish, and they get tired and they're not happy and they want to go in, that's a bad situation. You want to make it about them. If they want to say, hey, like my grandson said the other day, you know, I'm ready to go, I go, let's go. And he really just wanted to drive the boat, so he drove the boat, but make it about him. Now, back to your other question about that, yes, we do. We make them bite. That's what we have fun with, is figuring out that puzzle and what can we do to coax them into biting our artificial baits. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Most fish will actually respond aggressively, or we call triggering a strike if you present it right.
Exactly, and that's what's fun. I mean, that's kind of when you get it dialed in and you go, oh yeah, this is you know, I know I'm going to catch one on this cast, you know, and that type of stuff. Really
that's,
fun.
It's like if I have one client in my boat that's fishing slow and just reeling in, and I have another one that's jerking like I tried to tell him to
right.
do, he's getting the fish. The other guy isn't.
And you got to say, hey, you watch your buddy there and pick up on the little tips, and then you'll start catching them.
Absolutely.
Well, Shaw, you know, it's been interesting listening to you here talking to you here and the opportunity, great opportunity. And I would extend an invitation to you. You get up in this country, you want to go out hunting for some of them big 20-plus-inch smallmouth. We got some lakes to do it on.
I'd love it. Thank you very much. Enjoying being here.
Good to see you. Good to meet you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Great pleasure.
Well, you know, you mentioned talking about the high schools having the leagues and the colleges and stuff. And it's kind of interesting because bass fishing is probably, we don't think about it much up here. And I have heard some people curse the bass because they think, well, the bass are against the walleyes and everything else. But overall, across the country, bass fishing is probably the number one thing. Maybe crappie might be better. But
yeah, panfish, because they can catch them and eat them. But, you know, most of us, we fish the bass for a sport, and you're absolutely right. And some, you know, we've got some of the best smallmouth fishing around.
You know, up here in the north, all across the North America here, it's fantastic smallmouth fishing.
Yeah, for sure. And then the largemouth as well. You know, I love to worm fish, of course, but I also like to do topwater. And I don't think there's anything more exciting than doing that.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, when you mentioned largemouth, is that, yes, you can catch a bigger largemouth down south, you know, but overall, and what comes in weighing in tournaments, some of the weigh-ins up here rival what happens down south.
Oh, for sure.
Interesting stuff. And Bob, you know, if somebody's interested in getting in a bass club or more information about bass, how do they do that up here? I know they can stop by the store here and talk to you.
But absolutely, and then we can direct them to Wayne Balsevich at his email address.
You bet. Okay, and I give that out here, post it on the internet too. You know, as we talk about things, we talked about prepping for spring and getting ready. You know, we talk about new stuff on there. One of the things that I had in my boat, I don't know if you saw it last year, that bow step. It's a cool item. You can find information on it, bowstep.com. It's just a fair set of steps on the front of your boat. Makes it real easy to get in and out of your boat at boat landings.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, coming off the trailer.
Yeah, you know, because I'm always stumbling around and everything
else. It's easy enough to do. Feet get a little wet and slippery,
You know, and we talk about the spring turkey seasons. You know, that's real close right now, too.
And the one thing is, you want to get out and do your due diligence. Go do your scouting, and you can usually find those birds and have a pretty successful season.
And you guys are geared up for that too here. If somebody's looking for turkey stuff and archery stuff, you've got that in here now too.
Absolutely, John. A full selection of calls and turkey vests and seats and the whole gamut, as well as ammo.
Well, Bob, we're about out of time for this week. I want to remind folks, if you miss a show, You can get that show. Go to our website, wnoradio.net. You got links to our YouTube page now. We've got a YouTube page with more interesting video stuff up there. And also, you can go to our podcast channel. Links back to all of our sponsors and you get all the information in the Hayward area right there. Just wnoradio.net. We're out of time for this week.
Thanks, John.
Thank you again. We'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.